Friends in Christ, people of God, grace and peace to you this night as we gather to celebrate. I look around the church tonight and I see so many people. What a wonderful thing. Christmas outfits and smiles all around because it's Christmas. Kids fidget with excitement because tonight's the night when all of their dreams come true. I remember the feeling. And I sit back and listen while you sing the Christmas carols this night. The songs are familiar, and there's a hint of harmony, perhaps even, from time to time. And one of my favorite things, I have to admit, I allow myself the indulgence of knowing that I uniquely get to see and hear this bit of Christmas joy. It happens in just a little while. We'll light your candles, and we'll dim the lights, and I'll stand up here looking out at the glow of your faces, and we'll sing together, Silent Night. What we see and hear creates the moments of our lives. Each of us has stories to tell of times when we were in just the right place to see some significant event. The fall of the Berlin Wall. The Argentinian football team winning the World Cup. The funeral for the longest reigning monarch in England's history. To see and hear such events is truly spectacular. And so I wonder, what was seen and heard that night long ago? When a traveler and his young expectant bride couldn't find a room for the night, when a generous Bethlehemite offered up some room in the space where his animals slept, you can imagine what, in fact, Joseph and Mary saw and heard and smelled. But what else was seen and heard that night? The shepherds got the performance of their lives, didn't they? There's no question that what they heard as they gazed upon the lights in the sky forming shapes of messengers from God. And the angels were clear enough in their proclamation, glory to God in the highest and peace to all the world. For tonight is born a Savior who is Christ. For the shepherds, the words they heard and the things they saw were enough to send them running into town, searching to find this marvel and see with their own eyes. And did they hear also? Did they hear the little cries that Jesus made? Or the sound of his suckling? Did old Joseph fill them in on the story of just how they came to be in this strange situation? And the people around town. I think we can safely assume that it was probably not as cold in Bethlehem that night as it has been around here these last few nights. And as the story goes, there were lots of people there in the city of David. What with the census and all? Were there people out in the streets when the shepherds returned to their fields? When the shepherds were glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard? What did people think? Was it the crazy rambling of a bunch of teenagers out too late after dark? Or did they hear joy in the shepherd's song of praise? Was it a contagious joy that made them want to seek out this vision of a mother and child for themselves? The family in whose home this young mother gives birth to this child, what must they have seen and heard? Cries of pain and the struggle of childbirth, perhaps? But did they know the wonder which had befallen them that holy night? They saw and heard a baby being born, but in those sounds and in what they saw, did they know that the world would never be the same? Perhaps it was, as the song suggests, a silent night when all of those things took place. Or perhaps the little town of Bethlehem was busy and buzzing with such a din that no one really noticed God slipping into the world under such inauspicious circumstances. But for the ones who did know, young Mary and faithful Joseph most certainly, those honored shepherds given such an announcement, maybe some who just happened to stop and pay attention, to those who knew what to look for, the most beautiful scene, the most glorious display of God's grace, the most tranquil of visions unfolding before their very eyes, and sounds of a world transformed. They say that even today, you can go to the spot where the birth of Jesus actually took place. I've never had the chance to go to Palestine, so I haven't seen it myself, but I've been in some other unique and world-changing spots. I stood on the spot where they say Martin Luther made his declaration, "Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God." I stood just outside the room in Philadelphia where the Second Continental Congress gathered to sign the Declaration of Independence. I've even stood at the place where a quartet of states meet one another at Four Corners. Although nothing ever happened there. And there isn't even much to see or hear now except a hot wind and a lot of dust. I suppose most of you have been to historic sites. You've stood in those places where great and maybe tragic things have happened, but you've also been in places where common, ordinary things take place every day. And maybe those are holy places too. You've seen acts of kindness and heard words of love spoken to neighbors. You've seen community leaders stand up for justice, even when it means losing the election. You've heard medical professionals deliver news about a diagnosis with care and compassion. Spectacular things don't have to take place for a wonderful event to occur. And great words don't need to be spoken for profound messages to be declared. These sights and sounds take place all around us. We hear and we see them every day. And often we are the ones in whom the words and actions are manifest. I'm sure it would have been fascinating to see and hear what happened that night in Bethlehem when Jesus was born and God wrapped the world in love. I'm not sure Mary needed one more visitor, but something tells me that she would have gladly tipped away the edges of the swaddling blanket for us to gaze upon the face of Christ. To hear the story of the shepherds and see the star in the sky shining down upon the scene, to speak with the Magi and ask them why they came so far to witness such an ordinary birth, to watch the crowds in Bethlehem and hear whether they paid any attention at all to any of these going-ons. It seems that every year on Christmas Eve, we play out this scenario in our heads, and in our hearts we long to see something of it, even in our own time and space. But ours are not the ears to hear the shepherd's praise, and we do not have the eyes of those who looked upon Jesus' newborn form. Rather, ours are the eyes and ears that are called to see and hear the works of God in our own world, where there is beauty in the work of homes that are built for people of all incomes, where there is hope in the words of business owners and others who give generously to schools and the arts. When neighbors reach out to folks recently relocated to the area, even if they did move from California or Afghanistan. When teachers tell the truth about history and social studies. When shelters are built for the homeless. When food is delivered to the hungry, sleeping in the same gazebo where families gather for picnics and congregations gather for worship. Where all are welcomed into a house of worship, where all are encouraged to live the love they've been given and share with whomever they desire. Jesus' birth took place one night long ago in a place probably only a handful of folks took notice. But Jesus' life lives out today in all of the wonder and joy that is shared by you and me and all of the people in our world. Jesus' gift of love and grace didn't just come to earth in a little town of Bethlehem, but that little town is our town, our community, our world. And whether our town, our world, this night is busy or silent, still in our streets, the darkened ones especially, the everlasting light still shines. For the hopes and dreams of many are met in what we say and what we do. In what we hear and see this night, this Christmas night, and throughout our days. As this dear Christ enters in, abides, our Lord with us, Emmanuel. Amen.